ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. Bo-talico. Hunter. Rogan. Jen. Gordo. And finally, your host, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everybody. What a day. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. And let's get right to our word of the day as the Phillies are down 5-0. But, you know, that's the norm as we do the Johnson Broad Scorescast in addition to everything else. And the word of the day today is grudges. Grudges, because I've noticed that lately, and I don't know if this is good or bad. This is why we have these conversations. Philadelphia sports fans are holding grudges in big ways. Now, here's one example. We know everyone's mad at Joel Embiid right now, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. In fact, be mad at him for as long as you want to be mad at him. You want to be mad at him forever. Who am I to say one way or the other? Yeah, our thing just went down. So
looks like it.
Jen's going to have to probably put in a ticket. We'll tell you at the break. Now, with that in mind, the Inquirer does this stay or go column every year at the end. Where basically it's not even really a column. They give some information, and the fans go on, and they just say stay or go. And they don't have to worry about contract implications or anything like that when you do this. And quickly, they go 85% of people say keep Joel Embiid. Okay, 92% of people say keep Paul Reed. Now listen, I understand being mad at Joel Embiid, but 7% more fans would prefer to keep Paul Reed over Joel Embiid. Clearly that's out of anger. That is holding a grudge. What do you think, Hunter? What place do grudges have in sports? Just period.
I think it has to come down to players that are like Ben Simmons or even Jalen Reagor. And I know that it was unfortunate that how we selected him, his skill level is what it is. It's not his fault he got picked as high as he is. But the way he handled himself after that towards the media, towards the Eagles fan base, that was a controllable that I think he did a horrendous job at. So I feel like he can be a target for the grudge. There are certain guys. I know Sean Rodriguez doesn't move the needle anymore.
No, but I hate him.
Exactly. Those are the level of guys that should be in the grudge category. You could be mad and angry at Joel Embiid, but we got to get over that and not get to the point where it's grudge level, because that's doing a disservice to Joel Embiid. He should be held to a high standard. We should be upset with him. We should be disappointed. It's okay to hold him accountable because he should know by our voice how frustrated we are that we're not playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. But we cannot let it get to this unreasonable level of grudge, because that's just way too far, in my opinion.
And this is what I want to ask about, because the fans have every right. They're paying customers.
Yep.
So they can do whatever they want to do because they're the paying customers. At the same time, and we've been big on we're not going to tell you how to spend your money. Like when people were upset about the Flyers, we weren't saying don't go to Flyers games. What we were saying was, I don't know what recourse you would have otherwise to show the Flyers that you're upset. But we never said to anybody, don't go to Flyers games, because we don't really tell other people how to spend their money. It's your money. You do what you want. It's your feelings. It's your emotions. You do whatever you want. But it's now been a week plus. Now, I'm not saying that people should be over it, but it is. It's sort of like not like a father or something, like you lose a cousin. Eventually, you do go back to work. You don't stay out of work forever. There's a certain amount of time in which you have to then not really even move on. You have to continue to function. So when something comes out, you're saying stay or go. To me, Embiid of the centers, Embiid's the one you want to keep the most. Paul Reed second, and then Deadman and Harrell are both gone, in my opinion. The fact that 1% of people said keep Deadman or Harrell was a little bit confusing. So it was just weird to me because they're holding grudges. And I just don't know what that does.
Well, I think it hurts if they, if the, not that the Sixers are going to listen to these people and make the decisions based off of it, but it hurts if you're going to just pretend like Joel Embiid isn't a big deal. He is a serious weapon that gives you the only shot at this. You need him here if we're going to have any sort of chance. I get it's not the best selling point right now because all we've seen is failure in the second round and a game six collapse in the fourth and a no-show in game seven. But I'm watching Jason Tatum now, and I thought that Jason Tatum was more advanced than this. I mean, he's been really bad this postseason run.
He was bad most of the Sixers series. He really had 4.5 good quarters. And outside of that, he was pretty bad throughout that whole series.
Exactly. And I would want Jason Tatum on my team.
Absolutely.
I would want Jaylen Brown on my team.
Absolutely.
And they're both having rough times right now. It doesn't make it easier. And I'm not telling you it is easy. This is not easy. This is extremely difficult emotionally as a fan base. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you have to get away from this grudge nonsense with Joel Embiid and realize that you just have to keep attacking. You have to keep grinding. You have to dig yourself out of this hole. It was never going to be easy, but Joel Embiid needs to stay. You don't give up on this. And as Daryl Morey has to look around and realize that we need to add talent and add role players and see what other teams have that are succeeding and try and put that around Joel Embiid. But you can't let this grudge overstimulate your brain.
All right. Now, before we move on to the Phillies, Jen, you're the one who is always all forgiving and stuff.
Yes,
sometimes
sir.
To a point where we're uncomfortable in here as far as the forgiving.
Okay.
More people, more fans want to keep Paul Reed than Joel Embiid.
Yeah, that's insane. And not just because Joel is my best friend. It's just insane.
So what do we get if we hold that kind of grudge? Do we get anything from it?
No, it's not healthy. You need to let it go. You need to see what the better thing is for Philadelphia sports and for the Sixers and for us and for our heartache and all that. And it would be keeping Joel Embiid over Paul Reed. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. All right, so 610-632-0975, that point. Because the grudge is sometimes, I don't know. Now the Phillies.
Here we go.
You're down 5-0 today.
Can't stand them.
They, going into the game, had the same record this year as they did last year when, obviously, the manager was fired. Okay. It's clear that something's missing. At the same time, you'll have certain people that say it's a long season, and you can't get yourself all worked up about it. And in this particular case, this was bad management by both Dombrowski and Thompson. In that Ranger Suarez clearly needed some rehab starts in the minors, and instead they put him up in the majors too quickly. And it's showing that the guy just doesn't have it, because we know Ranger Suarez doesn't stink. How are we supposed to handle this right now? Because the way I look at it is, I'm seeing bad baseball, I hate it, I'm mad. We'll have Jason Stark on later. Jason Stark is always like the adult in the room and says that it is early. We had Matt Breen on earlier in the week. He says it's still early. It's not even Memorial Day. How are we supposed to handle daily bad baseball?
With anger, because that's the only way I know how to do it. You can't accept this nonsense. And it's a shame because you see the stands and you see these numbers. People are buying tickets all because of last year.
I was there Saturday. It was 42,000 plus in the building on Saturday.
And this is how they're getting rewarded, with absolute crap. It pisses me off. So I think you should handle it with anger, because letting this go and letting them just run through the season because it's long is a joke. Like, you need to be angry that this is what we're getting. And last year, Kyle Schwarber was interviewed during one of his rough stretches to begin the year, and he was standing in front of his locker. And the message he was selling, there was a belief in his overall message.
Yeah.
guess what? It sounds a lot different now. Bryce Harper spoke yesterday saying, like, we got to pick it up. There seems to be more sense of urgency. I'm not feeling the same energy that I felt last year when they were going through these struggles as I am right now. And that concerns me a bit. So, I think there's only one way to handle this, and that's to ride the emotional ride of a long journey, because that's how I like to experience my baseball seasons, mm-hmm. and be angry with this, because this is garbage, Ty. It's garbage.
I agree with you. Now, the bro was on in the morning with Bob and on the John Kincaid show, and he says that the team misses Reese Hoskins' leadership. I personally don't buy it, that it was him as the main leader, because everyone says, well, he spoke a lot. Part of the reason why he spoke a lot is he made so many fielding errors. He was the one we wanted to talk to after the game. I truly believe that Schwarber was the main leader on the team.
I agree with that.
He was the main guy. I don't think, now what they probably are missing is Reese Hoskins' bat.
You hit it right on the head.
Not the leadership. Reese Hoskins' bat is what they're missing, because Cody Clemens has been way better than I expected. Because I thought he was horrible. And then, obviously, you lose other guys. But I think it's the bat of him that they miss more than his, quote, leadership.
You're absolutely missing his power numbers and his RBIs and his home runs. For sure, it's killing this team. But if the difference in last year and this year is Reese Hoskins' voice in the clubhouse,
mm-hmm.
come on. Like, that's not why they're falling apart like this. Reese Hoskins' voice isn't that important. It plays a role, but you're going from last year's win percentage of 650 or whatever it is when Rob Thompson took over, going to the World Series, and the only thing that we're looking at here is Reese Hoskins' leadership? I'm not buying that at all. I don't buy that. I think it's his bat, and I think you're definitely missing the right-handed power numbers, but that's about it from the Reese Hoskins level.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it today. Ranger did follow up with a clean inning. That does anything for you.
That's promising.
Yeah, I mean, you can come back from 5-0 if you actually get hit.
With Zach Gallen on the mound?
You can get, well, you have to get to the bullpen. So you got to get him out of the game and then get to the bullpen. They scored some off the bullpen last night before losing. Because they lose a lot, this baseball team. They mostly lose. 610-632-0975. What are the day grudges? Does it do us any good to hold on to grudges? And should we already be holding a grudge against this baseball team? Because I got to be honest, I expected them to be good right now, and they're not. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. The Drive at 5 is fueled by VW of Springfield. Get insanely low prices. Go to VWPhilly.com. And man, what a Phillies game today. What a roller coaster ride. Who better to talk about it than the Hall of Famer, Curly Wright for The Athletic. He just does a tremendous job. It's a real pleasure to speak to him every week. And he's brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks, nature's refreshment, available at your neighborhood store. Mr. Jason Stark, how are you today, Jason? Kind of a boring day, huh?
I'm good, Tyrone. What's happening, man?
Man, I'm telling you. So this is all linked together. So the Phillies game, they're down 5-0. They get the 3 runs. Trey Turner's fourth at bat was one of the worst at bats, likely of his career. He swung at 2 pitches that, like, maybe little league kids could see where it was not a strike. And the next at bat, he gets booed, and we'll discuss that in a moment. First pitch, bottom nine, bang into the seats. This is why you love baseball, Jason.
No kidding, man. You know, I've been thinking for a while now, that was a moment that felt like it was waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is not as bad as he's looked. He's not close to as bad as he's looked. We know that. And he's just gotten into this mode of just swinging at every pitch thrown. It's like our whole Nick Castellanos conversation from last year, where you just can't make up your mind to swing before the pitch is thrown in modern baseball. It just doesn't work out real well. And he's number 10 in the sport in swinging at pitches outside the strike zone. Nick Castellanos is number 11, by the way. And with the very worst contact rate when he swings at those pitches of anybody on that leaderboard. And I don't know why anybody throws him a strike at this point. He got one in the ninth inning, and we saw what happened.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, and just to follow up, he got booed in the previous at-bat. And you've been consistent about this for a long time, Jason, about does the booing help? There'll be fans, and they may be misguided, so I'll let you have the floor. They think that the booing is what led to what happened in the ninth. But go right ahead and your take on booing guys when they're giving it their all.
Yeah, I'm not going to connect those dots. I've explained this to you before. I've lived most of my life in Philadelphia. I know we boo. I understand why we boo. I know we think that that's in the Bill of Rights for Philadelphians, right to free speech, right to peaceable assembly, and the right to boo. I get it. I've seen it, okay? But I have a problem with the booing of Trey Turner because he's a guy who has said unequivocally, I stink, I'm terrible, this is the worst I've ever played in my life. And that's where I draw the line, because I understand booing guys who stink and think everything's fine. I understand booing guys who don't try, who don't hustle, who won't shoot when the game's on the line. I understand booing guys who don't want to be here in Philadelphia. I understand booing the guys who kill your team in the postseason. I understand all that, okay? I don't understand what it accomplishes to boo people like Trey Turner, who own it, who own up to it, who admit to it, who even understand why they're getting booed. And, I mean, I don't think it was the booing that motivated him to hit that home run. I don't think booing motivates anybody except a really, really microscopic portion of the population. And you can tell me if you agree or disagree, but I just don't get it at times. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Looking ahead, though, you have the Atlanta Braves, you have the New York Mets for 7 games. How important are these 7 games for this club to try and, you know, turn this thing around a bit?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a huge trip. This is the latest they've gone into a season without playing the Braves since 2004. It's the latest they've gone without playing the Mets since 1996. And, you know, I don't think they're going to win the division anyway. But it's a different world now with this schedule. These opportunities to make up ground head-to-head in the division are just so much more rare now with two fewer series against both those teams. So, look, they went in today 7 games behind the Braves, 2.5 behind the Mets. If I'm calculating this right, it looks like they'll face both Scherzer and Verlander in New York and both Strider and Morton in Atlanta. So let's see where they are. I don't even know, but I do wonder if today has meaning that extends beyond today, both for Trey Turner and for the whole group, because the body language out there over the last week has been really frustrated.
We're speaking with the Hall of Famer, Jason Stark, currently writing for The Athletic, Jason. So yesterday and recently, Sir Anthony was the favorite to close the majority of the games at the start of the year. Yesterday, he fails to record out. He just hasn't looked right. Meanwhile, Soto, for the most part, has gotten it back together. Kimbrel has gotten it back together. Alvarado was pitching well before he got injured, and he's on pace to maybe be back in another week or so, they were saying. What's going on with Sir Anthony? Because he was such a big part of that bullpen last year.
Man, that's a great question, Tyrone. I'm not a doctor. I do wonder if he's hurt. because velocity is fine. Location just comes and goes. You never know from start to start, inning to inning, batter to batter. He just doesn't look like he has the same presence. You know, he's had one clean inning in 3 weeks. One. So I just wonder if something's nagging at him, because it just hasn't been the same guy, and it hasn't been since spring training. And as you said, we've seen the best of him, and we've seen everybody else around him in that bullpen who was supposed to be a big part of the late innings get better.
Going into the game today, they had a very similar record than they did last season. Now, I'm not calling for a managerial fire or anything, but, you know, we did look at Joe Girardi and wonder what was going on last year before they made the change. Is any of this on Rob Thompson, or is that unfair?
Boy, Hunter, I think that's a reach. When a team underachieves, I guess it's always on the manager to some degree. But if you take a step back, and I talked to Dave Dombrowski a little bit about this last night, like, what are their biggest issues? I feel like they've had two biggest issues that you wouldn't have seen coming. The defense part, they're just not built to catch the ball. But one, they haven't had anywhere near the level of health or dependability that they had in the rotation last year. Not close. Ranger was just a mess today. And two, this is a team that is built to hit and still hasn't hit. I don't see any evidence that this manager has lost this team. If he had, how would you explain what you saw today?
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable answer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Jason, you alluded to it. I want to just ask you about it. You know, I always hear, and I listen to you because you're the adult in the room. So we get, some people say momentum's only as good as the next day starting pitching. You just mentioned, you alluded to earlier in the call, that maybe the Phillies can grab something from this, get on that plane, and maybe can carry over a little bit. Is there carryover? Is there really momentum in baseball?
Momentum in baseball is overrated during the season, Tyrone. But, as I mentioned, if you really watch that team closely over the last week or two, the body language told you they were feeling it. You know, they needed a game like today. I don't know what the odds were of winning a game where you're down 5-0 in the sixth inning to Zach Gallen, who's pretty much the best pitcher in the league. I'm pretty sure you'd have a better shot at winning the Powerball. So to come back and win that way, to have Trey Turner take that swing, to have Alec Bohm, who is another guy who his body language over the last couple of weeks has been, wow, for him to have that swing of the bat and have that walk-off, I do think that has carryover. This team is so much better offensively than it's shown, and I just wonder if relaxing will bring some of that out of them. You saw it in October, what the right vibe, what the right confidence, what the right momentum can mean for the group as a whole offensively. Because, like, if they're going to do anything, they've got to hit. They know it. Everybody knows it. They keep saying they're going to do it, and we're almost 50 games in, and it hasn't happened. So maybe this gets some of that started. Like, we'll see. They got two really good teams to play over the next week and really good pitching they're going to face, and they're going to need better pitching themselves. But this has a chance, I think, to be a moment that means more than just one win.
Well, Jason, we appreciate you being flexible on the time. We appreciate the wisdom, each, and obviously the great stuff over at the Athletic. We look forward to talking to you soon, man.
Always my pleasure, Tyrone. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks so much. That was Jason Stark, the Hall of Famer, currently writing for The Athletic.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
ABC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Like this song, Dan?
Love it.
He loves
when
it.
The sun goes down. Great.
Okay, well, you know, it looked like the sun was going down on the Phillies' chances to win this baseball game, down 5-0. But now Kimbrel gets two outs, although there was a bunch of drama with this pitch clock. These umpires don't fully have it under control, but now it's two outs. Top 10 as the Phillies look to come back and win after being down 5-0. Trey Turner gets booed earlier in the game, comes back with a massive home run. A massive home run to tie the game on the first pitch. This right there is why Anthony was talking about it earlier, why you love sports, because it's the best reality show of them all. I'll admit the Scandoval is great, but this is greater than Scandoval. This is crazy what could happen in a single day. The guy had stunk the whole homestand, two hits.
I still
and
can't
bang
even process
before
it.
That.
I can't even process it. I can't eat the first pitch. He took it to the moon.
And this is why these guys are the best players in the world. That guy stepped into the plate with comfortable. He stepped to the plate with confidence, looking for his pitch, got it, and didn't miss it.
You know what? Good for Bryson Stott, too, because they even allow Trey Turner to go up.
Yep.
There was a pitch that he was not happy with. Rob
yep.
Thompson, same thing. He was all fired up in the dugout. Stayed cool, got on first base, and bang, right. Trey delivered, man.
That's just, wow.
I know.
Now he's got to finish. Finish this and then use this momentum. And I know momentum's only as good as the day starting pitcher. Like, I get it. But try to grab some momentum, get on that plane, and go try to take three or four from the Braves. And then deal with the Mets after that. How about a 5-2 trip from the boys?
Lovely. That would
something
be lovely.
Something like that, you know? Come on. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll with Jen Puritan Scorda.
I got my coffee.
You did. You
just
feel
that quickly.
I got it.
That pisses me off.
I'm sorry. I did earn it.
Unfortunately. Go ahead.
All right. The Phillies head to Atlanta for their next series. Will they win at least one game against the Braves? Maybe the tides will switch a little bit if they pull out a win today. Right now, 45% say yes. 55% are saying no.
1, 2, 3 from Kimbrel. And now we go to the Cody Clemens with nice little glove work over there. Nice little glove work over
Cody
there
with
first.
A K.
Cody with a K with a nice little glove work over there. Now we go to the bottom of the inning, and you got a Schwarber Clemens Bohm coming up.
I'm smelling
in the bottom of the 10th.
Clemens walk off.
Clemens walk off.
What?
I just can't believe. Tell me, this is why it's so great. Because we were down, and they fought back. And this is why. Yeah, if you were expecting Jason Stark now, he is moving to 5 o'clock to try to be on after the game. And TV will still be going to Phillies post-game live immediately following the game. None of us, when they're down 5-0, anticipated an extra innings game. Nobody was in. We thought maybe they'd come back and win it, you know, with a big a flurry. But to get to 3 and then get to 2 in the 9th, nope, we just didn't see it coming. This is awesome. It's awesome.
I'm still kind of in shock mode over here. When you watch the replays of his last at-bat, those
horrible
pitches were hitting the dirt before the plate, and he was swinging at them. So he went from that to the big moment. And, Ty, you brought up, it's like he needs a moment to grab him and to give him to give the fan base, like, the Trey Turner moment. And he does the next time he steps up to the plate. Incredible. Incredible. Hopefully this is enough to
keep it going.
Keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a great time for him to make that turn as you go down to Atlanta.
Oh, and so there's NBC Sports Philly. They have this future camera. So it seems to be the thing. I hate suspense.
Okay.
Like, honestly, if you could just tell me how my life's going to play out now. Some people are like, the foot of it. Not for me. So Boonies are always a little bit ahead to give me a heads up.
So you knew?
Now I know about that. He didn't tell me about it.
Oh, okay.
I wish he had him.
Actually,
I think it's better that he didn't.
Right. The video they tweeted
reaction,
out.
Yeah.
If that was you, know it.
No, I didn't know. No, I really didn't know. I really know. I knew about the automatic walk. They automatically walk Schwarber to lead off the inning. That's what he just told me.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, the automatic walk.
Makes
I didn't
sense.
Know about the home run.
The organicness of us getting so excited about that was
tight.
Yeah,
I'm, these
that.
Computers don't have speakers.
Yeah.
So the NBC Sports Philly video they tweeted out just keep playing on a cycle. Yeah. Man, you are on fire when he hit that homer.
It's the greatest thing to ever happen, man. These things are great.
I love it, man.
Oh,
you
man.
Are stoked.
You know what? It's like sometimes it's like, oh, we're up against these day games. It's been a lot of fun to be able to watch the games kind of with the people.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like, watching it with the fans. I really have enjoyed this.
Well, and the games have been so hard to watch, like laborious to watch
right.
over the last couple of days. This has been fun.
We had a bunt and a wild pitch.
And now we're up second and third. Nobody out.
They're walking this off.
Fly ball.
Oh, my
wins
goodness.
This game now. Fly ball, win the game.
My guy, Cody Clemens.
All right, let's talk to Randy in Sicklerville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Randy?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to talk about the Sixers and free agency.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if anybody ever brought this name up, but he's kind of a nutcase, but I feel like he's what we need.
I know where you're going.
Dylan Brooks.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Dylan Brooks. So you think that they need another role player who is just a role player?
Well, I think he could bring some offense to us, too.
He's a role player. He's an offensive beneficiary. He doesn't create offense. So if it, you
yeah,
mean
yeah, yeah.
like he, so you're saying that if Joel Embiid and Maxey get him wide open, he'll make shots, unlike Melton, for example, in the playoffs.
Exactly, and I also see him as that defense and that toughness that we need.
Is, how much?
Maxey.
What did the toughness do for Memphis?
Well,
he comes with too much. I don't think he lives
four pitch Clemens.
Walk.
And the bases are juiced. Nobody out for the Phillies in the bottom of the 10th.
For Alec Bohm.
For Bohm.
Who's
had some big hits, although he has not hit great recently.
So last year, Dylan Brooks shot 32% from three and 30% from three the year before.
Yeah,
he doesn't provide enough of an upside for the baggage and the nonsense that goes. I mean, Memphis openly admitted, we don't want this guy.
And I think that that there may be some issues. The Ja Morant thing, clearly they're saying another mound visit. They're trying to come up. You know, at this point, double play for a run and win the game. Who cares? Randy, he's a head case. And is he better than Korkmaz or somebody like that? Yes. But is he going to be? I think if he's on the Sixers, I think they still lose to the Celtics the exact same way, unfortunately. I'm not trying to kill your mojo, man. Like, I'm just saying that. Thanks for the call. I just don't think he's a guy who's going to really add so much to a team that needs more. And Alec Bohm.
It's going to be a sack fly, probably.
With the,
or not. Is that a homer? Okay.
No. All right. Beautiful. The Phillies win the game.
How about that? Nicely done.
Come back from 5-0 to win on the walk-off. They're playing the outfield in, obviously, because if it gets deep. And the Phillies win the game. Phillies win the game. Wow.
Boy, did
it feels
they need
good.
That.
They needed it before they head out to Atlanta. I know TV's getting ready to step away for post-game live. Listen, the TV audience, we appreciate all of you guys being with us for the game. We had a lot of fun, and we'll be back, obviously, after post-game live. But, wow, I know it'll be in a little while. Man, 5-0 down. They're down 5-3 in the ninth. Turner hits a 2-run home run, and they win it in the bottom of the 10th.
It says here on the broadcast, first time Phillies have rallied from a 5-run deficit to win since
Last June. So almost a full calendar year.
Which is crazy considering they were playing great baseball then.
They were winning a lot.
From July and August. Yeah,
and they were getting
winning.
Such good starting pitching. So now you absorb the another bad Ranger start. Trey Turner is 0-for-4 going into that moment. Bang, he takes care of his business. Man, it's just these kind of things. I believe that those kind of moments matter with a team. I think that when there's new players. He's a new player in that group. Tell me that clubhouse, and I know he's friends with Bryce, won't believe in him that much more after delivering like that.
You definitely need that one particular time that everyone looks at you and you are the guy in that moment. Like, it matters that you created something, created a spark, had a huge home run. It connects with the rest of that clubhouse.
Absolutely does it. Wow. Then, listen, Bowman, his batting average has dropped. I feel like in the moments, he's been big in moments.
For sure.
Because it's easy to go up there and strike out. Instead, you barrel it up, get that ball into the outfield, and win the game. It's just, I feel 20 times better now than I did at 2 o'clock about this team when they were already down 5-0.
He also started this thing off in the sixth, getting that RBI single to center.
Yeah.
So he did a lot today, more than just the walk-off, as if we're just pretending the walk-off isn't huge.
Yeah, it's just 610-632-0975. Now, Jed, how do you feel now? Like, you know, we were, you put the poll about the winning one against the Braves.
I know.
Feel better now?
Yes, I feel much better. The confidence level has risen. We all needed it. The team needed it. Trey Turner needed it. We needed it as fans.
Yeah.
It feels great. It feels great.
It's just crazy to me how.
Because we know that they're this team. We know that they can battle back. We know that they are a good team. They have a great lineup.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating when you don't see it happen the way we have over the last several games. Today was good. Today was great.
Good. It was necessary. And maybe it carries over. Boy, they doused it with
the extra
water. They got the cups and everything. I like that they use water because at least, you know, the Gatorade, it's all sticky. But, man, I wonder what Ted and NBC Sports Philly's headset budget is.
Oh, yeah, because every time you get doused with that.
It's still working, it appears. They have to start getting some waterproof joints.
Maybe they have them.
I don't know. How many people are buying headsets to dump water on them on purpose?
I don't know.
I don't know, but it seems like it's just, man, this is fun.
That was an Alec Bowman. Bowman. Alec,
I like
that,
it.
What do you mean? That was a happy
that
accident.
Was great.
Well, hey, how are you? I don't even
awesome.
Know where I was going.
That all. Was a Bowman.
Bowman. I don't know where I was going.
I love it.
Well, yeah,
love
I guess Bowman. He got booed and
but Turner getting booed.
Yes.
That's what you were referring
that's
to.
That's what I was referring
he
to.
He gets booed big time by a packed house on a business person special and then comes back bottom. That's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're in the backyard. Your team is always down. You never have good teammates. It's like you carry the team. And you're always the one to deliver the hit in the bottom of the ninth. That's the dream. You notice that it's never team up one, badly needed insurance run. You step up, you never do that.
It's funny you bring that up because I forget who I was talking to, but I was saying how I haven't seen an Eastern Conference Finals since 2001. So I'm 6 years old, but that's when I was in my driveway pretending to be Allen Iverson and mm-hmm. hitting the final shot.
Right.
But I would always I'll miss the shot. Like, oh, they had 3 more seconds to the clock. You know? Like, I missed 4 times. I keep adding the seconds to game 7. What do you know?
That's what you would do. Yeah, for me. Yes, that will happen. Then the other part is same thing in basketball when you're at the end because this is the dream moment for Turner. Your team's never in the lead.
No.
And it's always you got the ball, 5 seconds. You never think of making the right pass.
No.
That's not the dream.
I'm taking a contested layup. And if I miss, they add seconds to the clock.
I'm always taking a fall away.
Oh, yeah?
I'm taking a fall away. The shot's so pure. So in real life. So I always figure as long as I can see the rim, I'm going to line it up. But, man, Turner. So, okay.
How is Turner not the one speaking right now? Is that unfair to Bob?
All right, listen. Thanks so much, TV Side. Up next, you'll see our guy Ricky Bowe on Phillies post-game live. And we'll talk to you after. Appreciate everybody. All right. 610-632-0975 on the radio side. Wow. Man.
See, this is the issue, though. This feeling's phenomenal.
It's the greatest.
This team crushes us nonstop. How do we feel after tomorrow's game?
I don't want to think about it right now.
Okay.
Tomorrow's a night game, right?
Yes.
Don't matter how I feel. We're all Friday.
There you go.
No, I honestly, I think
they lost the series. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but this is what they do.
To talk to Jason Stark to do that. Why you gotta do that now?
I don't know, man.
You told me to read the room earlier. There you go, buddy.
Yeah, come on, man. You're not excited about what happened?
I'm stoked. I'm stoked.
They had lost the series whether they won this game or not.
Yep.
They lost the series before the game started.
I always wonder, is this the turning point? I've asked that 9 times already this season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At what point do I just stop asking that question? Here I am asking it again.
With what happened with Trey Turner and just winning that game the way they did, maybe mm-hmm. it's the turning point for both of them.
This is the first time it feels bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with Turner.
Yes, because you mentioned it earlier. He was actually costing this team wins. That's how bad he was playing. Mm-hmm. When he shows up, your team wins the baseball game. It's not rocket science. Your star made it happen.
Yes. Now, I think it's only fair before we get to Bruin.
We're doing that?
Yes, we're doing Bruin. We already talked about
it. Yes, remember the punishment. I won. I got my cup of coffee here. I'm all ready.
Just seeing if you
we'll
guys
We'll be back on
attention.
TV, by the way, at 5:30. I'm going to say that for you guys. 5:30.
Okay.
So we'll break a little early. Rather than 28, we'll break about like 24-ish or so in the 5 o'clock hour so we can meet TV for the last half hour of the program. Jen, you can get a stopwatch out on your phone, and someone can throw me a person. Now, for the record, I threw very fair people. Don't try to throw people that are impossible for me to get.
I have a good one. Unless, Hunter, you have a good
one. It's a person I know.
Yeah.
Say it in my ear, Jen. Off the air. Okay. We can do that.
All right. When you guys are ready, we'll do that. I'll have my minute, and then we'll go to What's Brewing with Jen, and we'll talk to Jason Stark at the start of the 5 o'clock hour.
I mean, I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald started out in the Doobie Brothers. Okay, replaced the original lead singer of the Doobie Brothers, and it was a problematic, so it almost became cliquish where they wouldn't want to back up the other person. Transitions over to a solo career, Michael McDonald, and is very good in the solo career. Songs like I Keep Forgetting, for example. He also did Yamo Be There with James Ingram. He sings background on Ride Like the Wind with Christopher Cross. He's in there doing that. The guy then, so he's, all that career happens. He does multiple songs with Patti LaBelle and other people like that. Then he goes back and goes on tour doing Motown covers. And then he's featured prominently in the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin when he's singing Y'all Gonna Be There from that covers tour that my grandma and uncle owned on DVD. That tour was sold out across the entire nation. They used to call it Blue Eyed Soul, White Hair throughout a long portion of his career.
Time, you win.
I got one for you, though. See, I want to give you one of my own.
Wait, why?
That was impressive.
It was very impressive.
That was
I think it was like a C-. I got another
C-?
I thought it was a C-.
I'm giving you a solid A, maybe an A+. I think it's an A+. I do. I was impressed by that.
I can't go that far.
That was off the top.
I can't go that far.
That was awesome.
Do What's Brewing in the 5 o'clock hour. Can I give you an A?
Why do I have to do it more than once?
Because I want to see if I can stump you.
See, that's not the point of the game.
That's not the point.
No, look, this is I promise you, it's a reasonable name. It's not crazy. I promise you.
We'll discuss
you.
It in the 5 o'clock hour. But now we must step aside and find out what's brewing with Jen.
All right. And yes, we are doing it today, Hunter. We're going to start in Miami for game 4, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Evidently, it was date night in Miami last night because everybody, every celebrity that is, was there. Derek Jeter and his wife, Hannah, spotted courtside. They just welcomed their fourth child together. They were looking great. Ivanka Trump was seen. Brooks Koepka, Jeremy Piven, Anthony Edwards, and A-Rod were all there, too. However, a lot of fans took to Twitter after the game, after the Heat lost, and said that it was Jeter and A-Rod's fault that they jinxed them by being at the game.
I don't see that.
I think people just love to hate on them. So.
Yeah, the both of them.
Here's my
question.
Because
they're mad at Jeter for leaving the Marlins. And they hate it.
Oh, yeah, that does make a lot more sense.
And remember, A-Rod is from there.
There you go.
Yeah, from there.
How do you feel
Koepka's
about...
Koepka's been going everywhere. Oh, he also went to the Panthers game, too. And he had all the wide eyes when they... Dirty play in the other hockey game. What was that?
You, Jamie Benn.
What
is
that?
I don't know.
When he goes with the cross, while the guy's down, and then it's like... And
His excuse was brutal, too.
It's kind of crazy. All the celebrities that go down to Miami... It just shows you, though, that weather advantage.
I was going to say, if you had endless amounts of money, wouldn't you fly to Miami whenever you wanted to?
Yes.
I would.
Yes, I love it down there.
Yeah.
And the crazy part, it's not even that expensive relative to big cities. Like, it's not more expensive than New York.
No, not at all.
No, you're right.
All these views. Go ahead.
How do you feel about the NBA player going to another NBA game when they're knocked out?
That's an interesting question. I don't love it.
I don't love it either.
It's a new phenomenon. I don't love it.
It's a weird look, but at the end of the day, it is a weird optic. But if you're knocked out and you're going to a game, you could be doing a lot worse.
Why are we judging them for having fun? Yeah,
I don't think you should go to a game against a team that eliminated. Like, I don't want to see a
crazy Drummond
did that. No, it was Dwight Howard.
Oh, Dwight
Went to a Hawks game after, apparently it was the Gold Club seats.
Oh.
You go to the strip club and spend enough money to get court-size seats for the game.
Oh, that's a thing?
Yeah, if you spend enough. I mean, I don't spend that kind of money. But yeah, if you spend a lot of money, that's one of your perks.
Good for Dwight.
And then they'll run a little shuttle, private, you know, car service. And then they'll run you back to the club after the game.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a weird thing, though. I don't know how I feel about it.
Like, Donovan Mitchell was, to me, that was cool. But if Embiid was at a Celtics game, I'm furious.
I'd be furious.
What I'm saying. So I guess the line for me is it can't be a team that
eliminated you.
Okay.
I like that rule. I'm down with it. All right. Wayne Gretzky's final game jersey is up for auction. So he wore this in 1999 when he got his 2,857th point with an assist. You can bid on it at Gray Flannel Auctions. If you'd like to go click on the website, you can go to 97.5. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com. Click on our show, What's Brewing with Jen.
80,000 times, and then we're good.
Yeah, we're actually doing pretty well. The jersey is signed with the game date on it of 4/18/99. And the Rangers did lose to the Penguins at Madison Square Garden that night. There, when I typed this out earlier today before the show, there were 11 bids. The minimum bid is $50,000. Current leading bid a couple hours ago was $189,880. And the auction ends in 18 days.
I'm surprised.
Ready to go in on there.
You're going
to
bid?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's not in the Hall of Fame or anything.
I am surprised
as well.
Probably
took it home.
I guess.
Can't make them. You know.
Yeah.
What was that site again?
It's Gray Flannel Auctions. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com, bud.
That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. And you can go click on the Gray Flannel Auctions website. I think that's what it's called.
100K.
I'm going to go in and bid.
Gray Flannel. Your minimum
sure
bid is $50,000.
Oh.
Over. Well, you said it was at what?
So the minimum bid was $50,000. When I looked earlier today, it was $189,000.
I'm going to bid $190,000.
What if you win?
This gives me anxiety, Tyrone, that you do this. Like, what if you did win and you had to pay $200,000?
Sell my house. I need to sell it anyway if things go left.
And then at least you'll have a Gretzky.
But all you have is a jersey at that point.
But then, it's an investment, though.
Just be having to drive a long commute. I won't be homeless. That's the fear. I won't be homeless.
That is the fear.
And actually, when I sell the house, I'll come out ahead. I'll have money after the jersey.
Would you resell the jersey?
Eventually.
Or would you wear it everywhere you go?
I'm not aware.
No, you put it in a glass case locked up somewhere.
Yeah, I'll
on
find
display,
somebody who wants it.
And in 20 years, you sell it at a profit.
Oh, 20 years. 5 years.
5 years at a profit?
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it'd be more to take Wayne out.
What?
Take Wayne out.
Let's not talk about that.
Boom, double, worth double. I don't own the jersey. But when people get desperate things happen.
If you own that jersey
and then Wayne was just to have an accident, a boat accident.
Oh, goodness
in
gracious.
Florida, visiting his daughter. Instantly, it's worth double.
So, if you wait 6 more years, it'll be 30 years. That's a good time to resell it.
Mm-hmm.
30 years from the date, you know.
Well,
what I mean?
I know some Rangers fans.
There you go.
I know one in particular that may work in this building.
Uh-oh.
Whose mom likes baking cookies.
Ooh.
Keep giving hints. What else?
No,
how tall is this person?
Do you think he's going to give you 6 figures for that?
610-632-0975. Thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
Well, if I tell him to. go on the other side. We'll talk to the Hall of Famer, Jason Stark, about this game and all things Phillies. Boy, it's been a wild ride. Wild 5 o'clock hour coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.